Text for tonight's lesson is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading in just a moment at verse 31 and read through verse 34. Luke 22, verse 31 through 34. The occasion of this particular text that we're going to read in just a moment, found in Luke 22, is the occasion in which we've just studied in the Gospel of John, John 13 and following. Remember, it was on Thursday evening when they had the Passover meal and Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. This is found in Luke chapter 22 as well. And on that occasion, Jesus is speaking to his apostles, preparing them for their apostleship and the kingdom of God to come. On that occasion, and Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. There are peak experiences in all of our lives. There are times in life when significant events and influences actually influence our future and shape our destiny. And Satan's attempt to sift Peter as wheat on this occasion was such an experience for the Apostle Peter. It is certainly seen later on in his life in the writing of the book titled 1 Peter. This lesson this evening is important because Satan attempts to sift us all as wheat. Notice Satan's desire, first of all. In our text under consideration, Luke 22 and in verse 31, even though the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, it's not evident in the English reading, but the you in that verse, in verse 31, is plural. Jesus is actually addressing all of the apostles on this occasion. Even though he mentions Simon, Simon, he doesn't address Simon until the very next verse. But I have prayed for you, singular Simon, then. So Satan has asked for you. He's actually asked for all the apostles, that he might sift them as wheat. And that's why the lesson is important for us, because Satan has actually asked for all of us, that he might sift us as wheat as well. Satan's desire on this occasion was to sift Peter and the other apostles as wheat. Now, Satan was very audacious in his desire to do that. Very bold, because he has chosen to sift those who are very close to Jesus, and particularly Peter. Peter has been with him from the very beginning. Matthew 4 and verse 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Of course, after this, he calls them, and Peter stays with him from that time during, you might say, his 3 years of evangelism while he was upon earth. He was very close to Jesus. He's often mentioned, such as in Matthew 17 and in verse 1, with James and John. Matthew 17 and verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. These three are often mentioned as being very close to Jesus and often with him when other apostles are not. Satan also showed his audacity in sifting Peter as wheat, because Peter, like the other apostles as well, had the ability to perform miracles. Jesus had given this ability when he sent them out on what we refer to as the limited commission, Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. But yet, Satan has chosen this one to do this, to sift him as wheat, one who has such power. And he had been promised by Jesus himself that he would be given the keys of the kingdom of God. Matthew 16 and verse 16 and following. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Yes, Satan was very audacious and very bold in choosing Peter to be the one whom he would sift as wheat. Peter had actually told Jesus that he had left all to follow him. Mark 10 and verse 28c, "We have left all and followed you." Even though Satan was very bold and brash in choosing Peter that he might sift him as wheat, Peter would later warn all of God's people to beware of Satan. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8 in our reading tonight, "Be sober." Sober means to exercise self-control. "Be vigilant," that is, be watchful. "Be on guard, be on alert, because your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Who knew that better than the Apostle Peter, as Satan had asked specifically for him, that he may sift him as wheat. Even though he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, very close to Jesus Christ. Well, what was Satan's sifter? Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. What was Satan's sifter? How was he going to sift Peter and perhaps the other apostles? How was he going to sift them as wheat? We know what a sifter is. Of course, a sifter is still used in our kitchens today, but it's been used for a great number of years for a great number of things. In Amos chapter 9 and verse 8 and following, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth." That is the nation of Israel. "Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord, for surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground." So this idea of sifting has been around for a long time. To sift is simply to shake in a sieve, to willow. A sifter, a sieve, is an instrument for separating grain or chaff. And what Satan wanted to do on this occasion, when he wanted to sift Peter as wheat, is he wanted to put Peter and the rest of the apostles through a severe trial. He wanted to sift faith right out of them. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to sift their faith right out of them. Note, as Jesus said, "Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." That's what he wanted to separate from Peter and the other apostles. He wanted to separate their faith from them. "I prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Fail here means to cease, to fail, to die out. So what was Satan going to use as his sifter to separate them from their faith? Well, the identity of Satan's sifters is several different things, or maybe. As Peter would later write in his epistle, it seemed to be trials and tribulations and suffering and persecution. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So trials persecutions and afflictions may be that which Satan uses as a sifter to separate one from their faith. In 1 Peter 4 and in verse 12, Peter would say, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." What was that fiery trial coming in their life? Well, 1 Peter was written perhaps around 64 A.D. There was a fiery trial coming in the lives to those to whom Peter was writing. Peter was writing to Christians in the dispersion, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, those Roman provinces. I believe the trial that was coming in their lifetime, of course, was the Roman and Jewish wars that were going to take place. And so do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed. On your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner or in this name. So there would be a lot of trials, tribulations, and persecutions in the lives of these to whom Peter was writing. No doubt Satan would use such trials and tribulations and persecutions, afflictions that were going to be brought upon them, as a sifter to separate them from their faith. He would even use verbal abuse as a sifter. 1 Peter 4 in verse 1 and following. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation." Note this, "speaking evil of you." Speaking evil of you is slandering your reputation, defaming your good name. "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Such things as this verbal abuse, as these trials, persecutions, afflictions, Satan uses as his sifter to separate people from their faith. Peter also recognized that perhaps Satan would use the lust of the flesh as a sifter to separate man from his faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 and following. "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance." Why? Because Satan will use those lusts, those desires, those longings and cravings of the flesh to separate you from your faith. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Another of Satan's sifters, the desires, inclinations, and lust of the flesh. Particularly in regard to Peter, perhaps he thought that he might use peer pressure, perhaps, as a sifter to separate him from his faith. In Luke 22 and in verse 54, "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house." Note this, but Peter followed at a distance. He followed at a distance. If you've been with us on Wednesday evening in our study of Revelation, perhaps you remember that phrase, at a distance. Remember in Revelation 18, the kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth, the seamen of the earth, stood at a distance for fear of the terror that was coming upon the city of Jerusalem and its destruction. They watched from a distance. Here Peter follows at a distance. Now, of course, we're not told in the context of any of the gospel accounts why it was he followed at a distance. We might surmise that he followed at a distance because he didn't want to be associated with one who might be thought of as a common criminal, one who's just been arrested. We might surmise that instead of denying him verbally, he denies him by following at a distance. To follow at a distance means he follows far away, stood afar off, so to speak, would not want to be associated with him, lest he become recognized, perhaps, as one of his disciples. We might surmise why he followed at a distance in many different ways. But we note verse 55 as well. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down, they, of course, under consideration of those who arrested him, some of the servants of the high priest and the officers of the high priest, remember, had made a fire and were warming themselves around the fire, and Peter comes into the courtyard and he joins them. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. He sat among them. He's with the enemies of Jesus, not with the friends of Jesus. You might say Satan on this occasion is using peer pressure to separate Peter from his faith. So he joins the enemies of Christ, having already followed afar off. Verse 56 of Luke 22, the peer pressure continues. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Had he not already denied him? Not verbally, but he denied him when he followed at a distance. He denied him when he was in the midst or in the middle of his enemies. But now he denies him verbally. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." Luke 22 and verse 59, "Then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're saying.'" Mark tells us in his account that Peter cursed and swore when he denied Jesus on this occasion. Of course, cursing and swearing there does not mean that he used vulgar language. He could have, but the words swear and curse there have to do with swearing an oath. He perhaps was calling anathema down upon him. "I'll be dedicated and devoted to destruction if I am one of his disciples." That's the swearing and the cursing. The curse is a calling for harm to come upon oneself. We see it used that way in other places in the Scriptures. And so he would call an oath of destruction or damnation down upon himself, denying that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Yes, what was Satan using as a sifter? He was going to sift Peter as wheat. What did he use? He used peer pressure, no doubt, this time upon Peter. And it seemed to separate him from his faith for a period of time. The only hope that he had was his faith. It's the only hope that any child of God has. is his faith. Peter had prayed that his faith would not fail, that it would not cease, that it would not die out. And evidently the Lord recognized and realized that it would not die out, that his prayer would be answered. But I have prayed for you, Luke 22 and verse 32, that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Peter's faith was not going to fail completely. It was not going to cease. It was not going to completely die out. But nonetheless, Satan still sifted him as wheat to separate him from his faith. Peter later realized the necessity of faith in withstanding Satan when he writes in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8 and following, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Know this, resist him steadfast in the faith." Resist him in connection with the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that produces faith, Romans 10, 17. So resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So Peter realized later on in his life the necessity of his faith being strong in order to withstand Satan. And he encourages others to be strengthened in the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because trials are going to come. Tribulations and persecutions are going to come to all of us. Satan is going to use his sifter to separate us from our faith. And James says in James 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," that is, perseverance, steadfastness, constancy. But sometimes when our faith has been tested, when we have been sifted in Satan's sifter, sifted like wheat, that he might separate us from our faith, sometimes it takes a rooster to remind us of who we are. That's what it took for Peter. A rooster reminded him of the words of the Lord, how he had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Luke 22 and verse 61. Verse 62, "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." Sometimes it takes a rooster to crow to remind us when we have been separated from our faith. A person who has been sifted by Satan might visit a worship service and hear a gospel sermon, and that sermon might just be a rooster to remind one of who he is. Perhaps you might be talking to a friend that is unfaithful, and what you have to say to the friend just might be the rooster to remind that friend who he really is. Sometimes one might visit a worship service and through the singing of a song and the words of exhortation or admonishment in the song might just be the rooster that reminds them of who they are. Because as we saw in the earlier portion of this study, verse 31 of Luke 22, Satan had a desire to sift all the apostles as wheat. And Satan will sift us as wheat as well. And he might, perhaps, separate us from our faith. But may we learn from Peter's experience to be sober, to be self-controlled, vigilant, and watchful. For Satan is going to sift us as wheat. But if Satan has sifted us as wheat, there's still hope. Just think about the great service that Peter rendered to God and to man after his sifting. He was sifted as wheat. Satan separated him from his faith, but his faith did not fail completely. It did not cease. It did not die out. He remembered who he was. And so, if you find yourself having been sifted by Satan, separated from your faith by him, seek some way by which you might be reminded who you are. Listen to a gospel sermon. Attend a worship service. Attend a Bible study. Talk to someone about spiritual matters. Open up the song book and read the words of songs that might encourage you to recognize and realize your true condition. Because Satan will sift you as wheat. But you can be like Peter. After having been sifted as wheat, you can perform great service for God and your brethren when you're restored. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, our prayer is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you, repent of that sin. Make yourself right with God before it's too late. Acknowledge that sin. Ask God to forgive you of it. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.